And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience, our DDD devotional diamond of the day. I hope you're sitting down, or if you're standing up, be prepared. I'm just trying to warn you. Here's the title: What Does Jesus See as Important? Plus, we're going to look at where God wants our minds. Then we're going to look at where God wants our hearts. And we're going to close it out by finding the divine gold.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn toward drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. And the more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. Then, after decades of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined K-Praise, and this radio program began. You are about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Politics? Nope, we're done. Sorry, not this hour. Entertainment and current events, personal revelations, spiritual observations, my life's insanities, and oh no, so much more. Hey, we're asking you, what do you think? Give us a call, 866-577-2473, 866-K-PRAISE. Any topic is, of course, technically open for conversation. Because it's not professional radio, it's just radio. Buckle up, little campers. Here we go. It's a cross between Steve Martin, Sean Hannity, and Focus on the Family, the David Spoon Experience, right here on K-PRAISE AM 1210, the Christian station in San Diego, California. Taking a short break, and then we're coming back. Stand by.
Local, national, and heavenly talk. This is the David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
Hey, K-Praise friends. Sam Rasul here with Keller Williams Realty. So I heard you've been on the internet trying to figure out what your home's worth. Stop that. The internet's a scary place. If you or someone you know is considering selling, call me. I'll give you a free and accurate home value report. The market is changing and you need to know what's going on. I've been selling homes all over San Diego for more than 20 years. I'm a trusted K-Praise partner and fellow believer. You have nothing to lose by calling me. My in-home consultation and home value report are free. When we meet, I'll give you a copy of my book, Muslim by Birth, Christian by Faith, and I'll even donate to your favorite charity or ministry. Call me now, 858-780-1SAM, 858-780-1SAM, or just visit thinksam.com, realestatethinksam.com. Thanks.
Russell Wilson here with Play 60. United Way and the NFL are helping kids play at least 60 minutes a day.
Healthy kids!
To get involved, go to unitedway.org/play60.
Donate!
Are you guys going to do that every time?
Yes, of course!
Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
Tucked away in Hebrews 11:27 is a two-word biography. He persevered. Hello, I'm Chuck Swindoll. He persevered. The he in that verse refers to Moses. Moses was the one who refused to give in or give up. He was the one who decided that no amount of odds against him would cause him to surrender and walk away. He endured despite the contempt of Pharaoh. He endured despite the stubbornness of the Hebrews who grumbled and complained and rebelled. Whatever it is you're facing, stand strong. Walk in quiet confidence. Be full of truth, balanced with grace. Persevere.
Pastor and teacher Chuck Swindoll. Visit Insight for Living's website at insight.org.
The David Spoon Experience continues on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
for your love.
Welcome back. Thank you for joining us here at K-Praise AM 1210, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. This segment, by the way, sponsored by our great friend Steve Wheeler, his wife Coral. Fantastic family, fantastic people committed to the advancement of the gospel of Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not going to go blah, 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 blah. Hey, just go to whitefields.org. That's it. I'm not going to say anything. Just check it out once. Whitefields.org. Check out some of the testimonies from the pastors. You just let me know if you've done it, if it was a blessing. If you didn't like it, send me an email. Tell me. David Spoon at KPRZ.com. But if it was a blessing, send me something. Say, you're right. That was kind of cool. Just let me know. How about that? Just about the gospel going to the four corners of the earth. Supporting churches all over the world where people can't plant churches like normal. Whitefields.org. Period. Whitefields.org. Whitefields.org. That's it. That's all I'm doing. Okay. Wow. We got something that we're going to go into that is going to be a little bit, I don't know if this is challenging. I hope it's inspiring. I hope it's encouraging for you. Because there's a lot of things being thrown at Christians right now. There's a lot of different formulations of teaching. You know, if you thought, well, there's just one big theme right now in the church, maybe you should read Revelation 2 and 3 where it addresses seven churches, right? All within 50 miles. One was 50 miles from one, was 50 miles from one, was 50 miles. It's like, you know, it's kind of an interesting thing. But the seven letters to the seven churches, for those that don't know, all seven letters went to each church. It wasn't seven separate letters. It was one letter that made the rounds to all seven churches. So oftentimes you find out that the church has got different things going on in different places with different people's lives. Because it could be one year that the Lord is emphasizing in one part of the body evangelism, and then in that another year, maybe that deeper walk commitment, and in another year, maybe a higher sense of discipleship. And they all lead to the same place, but all are necessary components of spiritual development. That's pretty common. There's nothing bizarre about that. And what I think for this year and for us is part of our take, as we talked about forgiveness, and we talked about, you know, that understanding of grace. I want to talk about some of the core elements to our faith throughout the whole year, because I need to be reminded. It's not just you that needs to be reminded. I need to be reminded. The pastors need to be reminded. We all need to be reminded on certain core truths. And when somebody tells you, oh, the gospel, it's boring, they don't know the gospel. Because if you knew the gospel and tore into it, you would just, every day, you would just be like, wowzer. You'd just be amazed. So let's tear into a one element, go right to it. It's one of my favorite portions in the world. Are you pointing at something? I missed that. Oh, do we have a sound? We do have a sound. All right, give me the sound first, and then we'll get to it.
Do you see what I see? Way up in the sky, little lamb.
That's great. That's a great sound take. I like that. Good God, I'm glad you did the point thing, because if I wouldn't have seen it. You know me. I'm bleh. Here we go. We're going to start off with the first Mark 8:33, just so you can know where I'm going with this. This is not the key scripture for these teachings, but it is the launching pad. It says, but turning around and seeing his disciples, he rebuked Peter and said, get behind me, Satan, for you are not setting your mind on God's interests, but on man's. Get behind me, Satan, for you're not setting your mind on God's interests, but on man. Sometimes we get our focus on stuff we want to focus on, and that doesn't necessitate that that's what the Lord wants us to focus on. So you might say, well, how do you know what the Lord wants you to focus on? Sure. Do you tell me you can prioritize that? Sure. Where do you get that information? Revelation chapter 2, verse 1 through 7. We'll explain that. Okay. To the angel of the church in Ephesus write, the one who holds the seven stars in his right hand and who walks among the seven golden lampstands says, I know your works, your labor, and your endurance, and then you cannot tolerate evil. And you've even tested those who call themselves apostles and are not, and you have found them out to be liars. You also possess endurance and have tolerated many things because of my name and have not grown weary. That covers about 95% of the church right there. Verse 4. But I have this against you. You have abandoned the love you had at first. Remember then how far you have fallen. Repent and do the works you did at first. Otherwise, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent. Yet you do have this. You hate the practice of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. Anyone who has an ear should listen to what the Spirit says to the churches. I will give the victor the right to eat from the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. This is the text that I used endlessly for every marriage I ever performed. Why? Well, Jesus says three things that are oh so important. It is incredible. He gives them great commendation, by the way, great commendation to the church to say, look, I know your works, I know your labor, your endurance, you can't tolerate evil, you've tested those who call themselves apostles, you found them liars, you possess endurance, you've tolerated many things, you've not grown weary. That is compliment after compliment after compliment of a church that's very active in doing things. And then he says this, however, I have this against you. You have abandoned the love you had at first. Not you have lost the love. You have left the love that you've had at first. And when we leave the love that we have for the Lord and for one another, when we leave that in order to perform or do or to have programs or whatever, we are missing what Jesus declares as important. Faith, hope, and love. The greatest of these is love. And so he tells you three things. Oh, three things. Just listen to these. He says very clearly, he says, remember how far you have fallen. And by remember, it simply means remember how it was before. Remember how you were full of love for God and for others. Remember how you were operating before. Remember that. You know how people say, well, that's the honeymoon period, Dave. That's not the honeymoon period. That's how it was when you encountered Jesus Christ. And he says, remember that. And now you're not there. So remember that. Repent that you're not there. Repent. Change direction. Go back to where you started. Don't be so professional in your Christianity that you have lost the simplicity. Go back to how this was when you started. And then he tells you how to do that. He says, remember, repent, and return. He says, do the things you did at first. Now, I want to know why this works for a wedding. Let's go 1 minute extra here, Todd. The reason this works for a wedding is because when you first fell in love, right? Tell me. You first fell in love, the sunset looked better, the food tasted better, traffic jam, no big deal. What? That person yelled at you at work? Who cares? I got my sweetheart at home. I don't care. That's how it was in the beginning. And in the beginning, when it was that way, what did you do? You left little notes on the car. You put a little flower somewhere. You did these little things that said, I love you. That was so important. The dumb little things you did. It was so important because it was all so goo goo gaga. I got a message for you. Those things that you did in the beginning of that relationship, if you wanted your relationship to be fresh like that again, you would have to do those things again. You do the things you did in the beginning of the relationship, you do them now, and that's what keeps the relationship fresh. So if you're sitting there going, well, I can't figure out why my relationship with my wife is stale. It's pretty simple. If you got married and you stopped giving her all those notes and all those flowers and all those loves and all that, those massages and all those appreciations, why would she respond differently? You're now changing how you approached it. Because in a lot of people's minds, it's once I win my spouse, I'm done. I don't have to do anything else. Wrong. Once you win your spouse, you keep winning your spouse until death separates you. And that's what makes a marriage fresh. And that's what makes your relationship in the kingdom of God and in Christianity fresh. You do the things you did in the beginning when you were on fire to go back to the fire. Don't tell me you're too burnt. God resurrects the dead. That includes you and me in bad positioning in our Christian faith. The priority to Jesus, him. That's the priority. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on K-Praise AM 1210, the Christian station in San Diego, California. Going to take a short break, then come back. Don't go anywhere.
Love
the David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
What is it, Cassie? Uncle Bob is floating in water like a bad stock. Whoa! We better go help him. Uncle Bob? Uncle Bob!
Jimmy, over here!
Come on, Cassie. Let's help Uncle Bob out of that water well. Uncle Bob, how did you get into that water well?
Oh, I tried to fix my roof on my own.
Cassie says you should have used Excalibur Roofing, Uncle Bob. Cassie says you could have just called them at 760-743-8803. Cassie says you could also check them out at ExcaliburRoofing.com.
I bet Excalibur Roofing would have had me covered. And free estimates, too? Oh, gosh darn!
Golly, Uncle Bob. If you would have just typed in Excalibur Roofing in your search engine, you wouldn't be all wet.
You're right, Jimmy. I'll never forget. Excalibur Roofing.
I've heard it said, it doesn't matter what you believe as long as you're sincere. What? This is Jim Garlow. It does matter what you believe about God. A lot of people believe in God and yet act as if he didn't exist. They believe in God, but there's no commitment to what he says in his word. They believe in God, but violate his ways. They believe in God, but don't want to be with him or obey him. There is truth. It does exist. Listen up. It does matter what you believe about God. God is not a fable or a myth. He's a reality. And the Bible describes God with the Hebrew word Adonai, Lord, boss, the one in charge. It fits because he is in charge. And if God is in charge, guess who isn't? You and me. This is Jim Garlow.
Recently on Washington Watch Live, Tony Perkins shared his thoughts on the UN actions regarding Israel's settlements.
People think of these settlements, they think like people are setting up tents in the backyards of Palestinians. I mean, that is not at all what these are. I mean, I've been to places like Ariel, which is quote-unquote a settlement. It is a thriving city. They have a university. Ariel University has 15,000 students. They have an industrial complex that employs Palestinians, Arabs, and Jews. I've walked through it. They have a medical center that treats Palestinians and Arabs and Jews. They're actually living out the peace process. They have a performing arts theater there. They are working side by side, coexisting. But when you see stuff unilaterally like the UN did, it sets back the peace process.
You can find out more when you visit TonyPerkins.com.
Local, national, and heavenly talk. This is the David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
Welcome back. Thank you for joining us here at K-Praise, AM 1210, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. I should let you know, you are welcome to send an email, davidspoon@kprz.com. You are also welcome to check out the David Spoon Experience Facebook page. Send me a private note if you want to. You're welcome to do that. And also go to hisappointment.com if you want to pick up a book that is pretty much geared to getting past the mountain in life that shifted all things underneath your feet after becoming a Christian. That's kind of like the mindset of the book. Don't forget KPRZ, the website and the Crazy Price Mall stuff. CrazyPriceMall.com, 50% off our products and services. They're not ours. They're some of the clients that we have. But they give really good deals. You might as well save the money unless you're just totally into paying as much as you can. And then I have a new trust fund I developed, and you can send something there. Okay. Let's get going. We started in our very first segment talking about what Jesus sees as important. Talked about it out of Revelation chapter 2, basically verses 1 through 7, understanding that forsaking or leaving our first love, you can do all these great things as a church, but when you step out of love, you stepped out. That's really the bottom line. So let's stay in that same mentality and understand that that love has to do with our communion, our connection to the Lord Jesus Christ. And the church got so caught up being the church. And this can happen. Let me make this statement. This is not my statement. And actually, it's not Keith Green's statement, though I got it from Keith Green. But it is a great statement. You can get so caught up in the work of the Lord that you forget the Lord of the work. And that's a problem. You can get so caught up in the work of the Lord that you forget the Lord of the work. You can get so caught up in the performance of trying to do and trying to be in Christianity that you forget it's about Jesus. And it's like when we do that, it's a tremendously difficult place to be, and it's a mistake. So in Jesus addresses this in the Sermon on the Mount, which a lot of people do not realize. Matthew chapter 7, verse 21 through 23, he says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, 'Lord, do we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons, and in your name perform many miracles?' Then I will tell them plainly, 'I never knew you. Away from me.'" And it's like you have this passage in here that people skip over all the time. And I hear people come up with some really good doozies. Like, well, this meant this, and this had to do with this time frame, and this had to do with this. Like, Jesus doesn't do that. He doesn't say this only applies between now and when I die. It's pretty simple. He said there's going to be a lot of people on that day that said, well, we did this, and we did this, and we did this. And Jesus is going to go, who are you? So the question is, who are you? Are you a person that is in functionality a Christian? You are really into churchianity? And because you're into churchianity, that process then is good enough to save you? Jesus said, no, that ain't right. You better know me. And if you want to know, well, gosh, Dave, I want to be doing the will of God. It's not that complex. In the same book, Jesus in Matthew 24 through 30 tells you, I'm sorry, it's 34 through 40. I knew I got that wrong. Jesus tells you what it is. Hearing that Jesus had silenced them, Pharisees got together. One of them, an expert in the law, tested him with this question: "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second," by the way, which is not the first, "is like it," but it is not it. It is like it. "Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments." So if you want to know, well, what is the will of God? I mean, I definitely want to be engaging in the will of God. I want to be connected. I want to know what he wants. Well, he didn't make it complex. You need to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind. You know what the will of God is for your life so you can fulfill the will of God? So it's not a we did this and we did this. Because the we did this and we did this and we did this in your name, there's nothing there about relationship with the Lord, is there? And what's Jesus's biggest grind? He's like, I don't know you. But the first commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind. You need to know the Lord. You need to not know of the Lord. A lot of people know of the Lord. You're going to hate this statement. Ready? Satan knows of the Lord, right? Satan doesn't disbelieve there's a God. Demons don't disbelieve there's a God. They believe. They know Jesus was the Messiah. Uh-oh, the Holy One's come. Uh-oh. But they don't. They know of the Lord. They don't know the Lord. You're commanded and I'm commanded to know the Lord. You and I are commanded to push past the legalistic pharisaical religiosity and to be radically committed and coming towards the Lord in his kingdom. You and I are called to that. That's what the call is. That's what it talks about when it says the violent take it by force. That's exactly what Matthew 11, 12 means, where it's like you and I, we don't come in the normal religious channels of you go through this system and this tradition. We come in going, Jesus, save me. I need your help. That's what it talks about when it says the kingdom suffers violence and the violent take it by force. It's a radical response to the Lord. Everything else is rubbish. You got to catch real quickly. Jesus lays it out. Look, all of the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. You can spend hours and days, years and decades and lifetimes. And Jesus made it very clear. Okay, you know all that stuff? Watch this. With everything in your heart, all of your emotions and feelings, with everything in your mind, all of your thoughts, with everything in your soul, everything that's inside of you that drives you, that's your inner being, and with every ounce of strength, all physical strength that you have, with all four of those components, love God. That's first. That means you love him with your body, you love him with your heart, you love him with your mind, you love him with your inside. And then when you're in that process and understanding how that engages back and forth, you have a capacity to love your neighbor as you love yourself. There's a reason why one commandment is first and another commandment is second. Same reason why it's set up that way in the Ten Commandments. The first three commandments are definitely God-oriented. The last six, definitely people-oriented. It's the Sabbath, whether people argue whether was that towards God or is that towards you as an individual. It wouldn't matter. The bottom line is the first of them are towards the Lord and the last of them are towards one another. You got to do this right. This is love God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind. Do that first. Guess what that enables you to do? Love your neighbor as you love yourself. You can't love east to west until you first learn to love north to south. You're not going to do it. It's not going to happen. You can't love your neighbor and not love God. It's not going to work that way. I mean, he said it. You're not going to happen. It's just not going to exist. And so the commandment is clear. You want to find the will of God? It's to love God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind, to love your neighbor as you love yourself. That is the will of God for your life in summation. The question is, do you understand about the realities of our call to be in this relationship with the Lord? I want your mind to understand what the commandments are, but I want your heart to hear what the Lord says is required of us, that he wants of us, that connects to what Jesus said. When he said, I never knew you, get away from me. You never want to hear that. You want to hear the exact opposite. You want to hear Jesus say, David, come on. Been waiting for you. Right? When we get back, we'll talk about how that connects. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on K-Praise, AM 1210, the Christian station in San Diego, California. Short break. We'll be back. It's breaking me in two. I'll give this broken.
Whitefield's ministry supports national pastors starting churches in villages that have no church, places that are difficult to start a church because of extreme poverty or persecution. I'm Steve Wheeler, the director of Whitefield's ministry. We support these pastors because they already know the language and culture, making them efficient at starting churches in their country. Whitefield's provides support so that the pastor can work full-time starting the church that transforms their whole community. They heal broken families, feed hungry children, restore hope, and give purpose to the lost. Many villages in the world are still without a local church.
This is David Spoon, and many of you are out there looking for an opportunity to advance the kingdom of God. Well, your partnership by praying and donating to Whitefield's ministry can advance the cause of Christ by starting more churches in needy communities. Visit whitefields.org or call 760-846-8610 and donate today.
This is David Davenport of the Hoover Institution for townhall.com. Abraham Lincoln appointed three men who competed against him for the presidency to his cabinet, creating a talented and now famous team of rivals. Donald Trump's cabinet has its own unusual flavor, creating a kind of dual presidency. On one hand, Trump himself and appointees like businessman Rex Tillerson as Secretary of State represent a pragmatic get-things-done approach to government. On the other hand, the appointment of several traditional conservatives to posts at Energy, the Environment, and the Office of Management and Budget signal a shrinking of the federal role. All this represents a dualism in Trump himself. On one hand, he is a pragmatic businessman, lacking a strong political philosophy. On the other, he ran as a Republican, chose traditional conservative Mike Pence as his vice president, and stocked his cabinet with several conservatives. Which Trump will win out? I think on economics, Trump will be pro-growth, but on social and other matters, the role of the federal government, if not its size, will shrink. David Davenport.
Tucked away in Hebrews 11:27 is a two-word biography. He persevered. Hello, I'm Chuck Swindoll. He persevered. The he in that verse refers to Moses. Moses was the one who refused to give in or give up. He was the one who decided that no amount of odds against him would cause him to surrender and walk away. He endured despite the contempt of Pharaoh. He endured despite the stubbornness of the Hebrews, who grumbled and complained and rebelled. Whatever it is you're facing, stand strong. Walk in quiet confidence. Be full of truth, balanced with grace. Persevere.
Pastor and teacher Chuck Swindoll. Visit Insight for Living's website at insight.org.
It's the one and only David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
I like to live the love I sing about in my song.
Welcome back. Thank you for joining us here at K-Praise, AM 1210, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. All right. I do want to let you know we've been covering what we would call priorities, maybe kind of priority foundational. This is not new material, I think, for anybody. I don't think there's anything new in the material, but it's good to get the refresher. You know, somebody might ask, why are there four gospels? And a really, not a curt answer, but an interesting and direct answer might be because you and I need to hear it over and over and over and over again. You notice that Jesus didn't teach on love once. He didn't teach on giving once. He didn't say, well, I've taught on that. I'll never teach that again. Jesus taught the same lesson from multiple angles, multiple times. So here we are looking at some of the core of that teaching, and what we started off with was what Jesus saw important, and you can certainly understand that the message to the churches in the book of Revelation, being the last book in the Bible, being the seven churches, that those messages directly to the church, whether you look at Revelation from a premillennial point of view or from an amillennial or from a postmillennial point of view, it would not matter. There's nobody that's in disagreement that in those letters, in those Revelation chapter 2 and chapter 3, there is a message to the church since they are seven letters to seven churches. And there's a message there. And in the very first letter to the church in the closing book, Jesus is like, look, you guys do great. You do this. You're doing this well. You're doing this. But man, where are you? You kind of lost your love in this process, which, again, we understand from 1 Corinthians 13 is the prevailing characteristic that we need to be operating with. And then you jump into Matthew 7, and it's like, look, Jesus wants people not just to be using name-only Christianity, but genuine Christianity. And what he calls us to do is to love God with all our heart, soul, strength, and mind, and love our neighbors or love ourselves. I mean, the call to love God, first and foremost, is immovable. It didn't work out for Abraham when Isaac became too strong in his heart. God made him cut it, made him go through the action. Didn't have him kill his son, but showed him, demonstrated, nothing comes between me and you. Nothing. Nobody. That's what Jesus meant when Jesus said, if you don't love me more than all these, you can't even be my disciple. You can't even be it. You're not even allowed to. So there's no room there. There's no iffy. Well, he didn't really mean that. Well, that's why he said it three times. But here's the real core to this, and that's understanding why Jesus came. I mean, why come at all? Who cares? Man sinned. Man rebelled against God. God should have just, you know, taken his enormous God finger and hit the earth and just sent it into a spinning gazillion miles away, and that's the end of it, and start with somebody else. Well, that's not what he did, is it? In fact, the redemption of Jesus Christ coming to this planet had to do with the restoration of that which was lost in the garden. And what was lost in the garden by man's sin, but man's capacity, woman's capacity to fellowship with God. Sin brought that separation in. Jesus came to solve that problem. That's it in a nutshell. And you think, well, wait, you can't just sum up Christianity. Christianity's got all this vast religious history, and, you know, they've built hospitals in the name of Christ, and they've started wars in the name of Christ, and they've done wonderful things and terrible things, and none of that qualifies. Here's what qualifies. You want to know what qualifies? 1 John chapter 1, verse 3, we proclaim to you what we have seen and we have heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us, and our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. Now watch this, not rocket science. The fellowship that the Apostle John is talking about is fellowship with God the Father and God the Son, Jesus Christ. And then in 2 Corinthians 13, 14, it says, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. You know what you're called to? You know what we're called to? We're called to fellowship with God, fellowship with the Father, fellowship with the Son, and fellowship with the Holy Spirit. It is the purpose of your existence. You are there to glorify God in that communion with God. If God just wanted a bunch of people going, God is great, God is great, he could have made a bunch of jack-in-the-boxes and put them on a shelf in heaven and just zap, 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 zap. But God enjoys fellowship with his creation, and in that glorification of him is our acknowledgement of how gracious and merciful and kind he's been to us and how faithful he's been to us. But you can come up with all these brilliant ideas, all these different visions to advance the kingdom, and I think you should. But if you ever lose sight that you are called to fellowship with God, you are missing all of the core of Christianity. This isn't to prove the devil wrong. The devil already lost. He's not in heaven, is he? He's operating on earth. He already lost. That's done. He's just going to have to fulfill whatever the plan is, because at this point, he might be a bad dude, but he's still under God's domain, which is why he had to ask even God to sift Peter like wheat. That's what Jesus said. He had to ask permission to touch Job. Seems like the Old Testament and New Testament say the same thing. That's not the problem. The problem is us grasping or getting a hold of. We are called to fellowship with God. You think, oh, what do you mean, Dave? How do you fellowship with God? I'm going to tell you. I'm just going to bust it wide open. Going to keep it super easy. Ready? You know that Bible, that silly book from Genesis 1:1 to Revelation 22:21? What do we call that thing? Well, what's that called? That's called the Word of God, right? And when you're praying, what's that called? That's called you talking to God. So when you're reading the word, he's talking to you. When you're praying, you're talking to him. And when you talk to somebody and when you listen to somebody, that's called communication. And that's the basis of relationship. Communication. And that word he speaks to you and that prayer you speak to him, and you have this communion or fellowship with God. Thinking, what are you trying to say, Dave? All you got to do is read your Bible and pray? Well, yeah, kind of. Now, there's other methods to enjoy the presence of God, like fellowship, service, giving, worshipfulness. All those are valid, but I'm just giving you a couple of cores, just a couple of things to work with that don't create general complexities. The problem is when you read the Bible, A, the devil distracts you. B, if somebody's got a TV on or something else is going on, you don't separate the time. When you open that Bible, what we should be doing is going, Lord, if it's just one little thing, speak to me. Talk to me. And when you're praying, I think you pretty much get it. Sometimes you shouldn't say anything. Sometimes you should just pour out your heart. That's you talking to God. That's called, wait, get ready, that's called communication, listening and sharing. And communication is at the core of relationship. It's just like, oh, wait, this isn't complex. No, we are told to have fellowship with the Father, fellowship with the Son, and fellowship with the Holy Spirit. If you don't know how, I'm not even going to say, if you don't know how, ask God to show you. That's part of your relationship. Hey, we're in a relationship. It's kind of like anything else. When you meet somebody, you find out, you know, what's good, what works, what doesn't, how it is. You just commune, share, listen, participate. You and I are called to that. If you don't know it by now, look at simple people like Abraham. And recognize he was called the friend of God. How'd you like to be called God's friend? Oh, hey, that guy, he's my friend. But yes. How about David? I just can't live without you. I mean, I'm like the deer panting after the water. Where are you? How about Moses? I've seen your glory. I want to see more. It's not even enough. Well, you've already seen my great power. I want more. It's like, oh, okay. It's like that passion to be connected to the Lord, that is why Jesus came, so that as many of us can be connected, so that there's not just an Abraham, a Moses, and a David, but that so that there's all of us, so that there's a bunch of us, like Chris and like Todd and like me and like Paul, like all of us, so we can be connected to the Lord in relationship. That's why Jesus came, because it's not just for three or four people. It's for all the people that God has pulled their heart towards him, and we're those people. Now, we come back, I'm going to give you my favorite portion on this, just absolutely top-notch, and I even call this Finding the Divine Gold. That's how important it is to me. So we'll take a short break, then we'll come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on K-Praise, AM 1210, the Christian station here in San Diego, California.
With the sparrows and the boy who shoots the arrows, if I only had a heart.
Stay tuned for more of the David Spoon Experience on AM 1210, K-Praise, the Christian station.
There, all done with the roof.
You call that a roof? You need to call Eric at Excalibur Roofing to get the job done right. Excalibur Roofing, they know how to do a roof right.
What's this?
It's a cell phone.
What's a cell phone?
Never mind. Just dial these numbers, 760-743-8803. That's 760-743-8803. And ask Eric at Excalibur Roofing to help you with your roof. His work is good. He even gives free estimates.
What's an estimate?
He also has a website on the internet, ExcaliburRoofing.com.
What's an internet?
Are you done loading the animals into the ark?
Not yet. By the way, why am I doing this again?
How long can you tread water?
Right.
When we cannot see God's hand, we can trust his heart.
Our Daily Bread.
Today's encouragement from the Our Daily Bread devotional was written by James Banks. James writes, "Our son wrestled with drug addiction for 7 years, and during that time, my wife and I experienced many difficult days. As we prayed and waited for his recovery, we learned to celebrate small victories. If nothing bad happened in a 24-hour period, we would tell each other, 'Today was a good day.' That short sentence became a reminder to be thankful for God's help with the smallest things." James continues, "Tucked away in Psalm 126:3 is an even better reminder of God's tender mercies and what they ultimately mean for us. The Lord has done great things for us, and we are filled with joy." What a great verse to take to heart as we remember Jesus' compassion for us at the cross. The difficulties of any given day cannot change the truth that come what may, our Lord has already shown us unfathomable kindness, and His love endures forever. When we've lived through a difficult circumstance and discovered that God was faithful, keeping that in mind helps greatly the next time life's waters turn rough. We may not know how God will get us through our circumstances, but His kindness to us in the past helps us trust that He will. We hope these daily programs inspire you to go deeper in studying God's Word. For additional resources and encouragement, download the Our Daily Bread ebook and mobile app. Prefer a print copy? We'll gladly send one your way for no cost or obligation. Visit getodbtoday.org. Today's encouragement was provided by Our Daily Bread Ministries.
The David Spoon Experience continues on AM 1210 KPRZ, the Christian station.
Welcome back. Thank you for joining us here at KPRZ AM 1210, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. You want to reach the show, David Spoon at KPRZ.com. My hat's off to Todd, Tugboat Todd, doing a great job. Really, I mean, producing has got to be, you know, challenging. But if you can just do that every so often, I mean, it's like a winner no matter what happens. All right, so we have been discussing throughout this hour what we would call first things first. Jesus declaring what he deemed important, specifically out of Revelation chapter 2, verses 1 through 7, talking to the church at Ephesus, recognizing the church was doing great things, by the way. He complimented them in a fantastic fashion, but did tell them, look, all the stuff you're doing is great, but you have lost, or you have not lost, you have left, or you have forsaken your first love. You've kind of walked away from what's important. And Jesus declares in Matthew 22, 34 through 40, what's important. And that's loving God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind. And then loving your neighbor as you love yourself. You demonstrate your love for God by loving your neighbor, but not solely by loving your neighbor. So that's where that confusion comes in from works-oriented people. See, if you really love the Lord, it's not an issue of you being that perfect person, as the Lord sees you as that perfect person and then kind of molds you and moves you in that direction. If you really love the Lord, you just want to do it because you love Him and because He loves you. Because He loves you and because you love Him, you just want to do the best before you that you can. And what you do find out is He enables you to do quite well. And so we talked about also in this last segment that fellowship with God is at the core of our existence, purpose for existence. When we're done with this program, one of the things we know we will be in, we can absolutely define this for sure, is fellowship with God. And so now, eternal life begins now, not after the millennium or any other time, begins now. You can fellowship with the Father, fellowship with the Son, and fellowship with the Holy Spirit. That's what 1 John 1:3 and 2 Corinthians 13:14 make clear. And we should be in fellowship with God. Fellowship requires communication. You talk to God, He talks to you. You pray, you read His Word. And sometimes He talks to you. People are like, well, God doesn't talk to people. Well, tell that to the hundreds of thousands of people that have gotten saved, if not millions of people, by God doing something miraculous. Just tell them they're not saved as they've been Christians for 50, 60, and 70 years. Go ahead. Let me know how that goes. So what I want to close out with, though, is what I think is the best overall text on this that we're covering. My favorite personal text. For those that know me at all, Philippians chapter 3, verses 7 through 9. But whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things and consider them garbage, that I may gain Christ and be found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. my favorite text. Paul is clear. He says, I consider everything else a loss. I consider it a loss. It doesn't even matter compared to one thing, knowing Christ. Nothing else is important. Knowing Christ is the divine gold. He says, for whose sake I've lost all things and consider them garbage. Of course, that's not the word that's used in the Greek. I think you can all figure that out. But I consider them garbage. Anything I've lost in my pursuit of knowing Jesus is nothing to me. It means nothing. It is nothing. It will never be anything. Because God himself is the greatest treasure on earth you can ever have. And your relationship with God is the greatest gold you can ever gather together. There's nothing greater. Very clear about this. And then it's taken, Paul takes time, under the Holy Spirit, takes time to say, I want to be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law. He's saying, I want to be in him, not because I'm good, but I want to do it because I have faith, because that faith accesses for me the righteousness that comes from God. There's a righteousness that comes from God, and there's a righteousness that we try to attain. I want the righteousness that comes from God that's on the basis of faith, the one that's granted to me because I believe, because I consider nothing more important than knowing Christ, and I consider everything else a loss, and I consider it garbage, and I don't care. It's Jesus or bust. And that's it.
Well, that's kind of a radical position to take.
So?
Well, that means that you're like a zealot.
No, it means I want to have Jesus Christ in my life. That's what it means.
Well, that doesn't conform to the world. Thank you.
I appreciate that compliment. I'll take that. Can you put that in a plaque? That'd be nice. It's about knowing Jesus Christ. It's about, I don't care, it's about going in that closet and closing the door. It's about going in that room and shutting out the entire universe around you and focusing on the bigger universe around this universe. That's what it's about. It's about knowing Jesus and considering everything else ridiculously stupid compared to knowing Jesus. Does that make it political? Does that make it radical? Does that make, I don't care what it makes. Do you care what the world says? If Jesus is your passion and all you care about is knowing Christ, who cares what the world says? Who cares? I don't even care. Well, he was, you know, weird. Good. There should be more weird people. Know Jesus Christ. Consider everything else rubbish. And then we're on the right track for the gold.
All right, folks, you've been listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on K-Praise AM 1210, the Christian station in San Diego, California. Going to take a 70-hour break. Then we'll be back. More Insanity with Spoonanity. Talk to you then.
On K-Praise, 1210 AM, KPRZ.